Okay, so let's do you want to just review what we said yesterday?
Oh, we didn't go to Tamil.
What did you say?
We didn't go off.
Oh, did anybody get to the Rima Gash?
We tried it.
You tried it. Okay. Did you get it?
We think we got it. I don't think we got all the nuances. I think we got the main points.
Okay. Okay. All right, so let's, but the rest of you, no one really has, other than nobody else really went, you're in the middle?
Starting to get it.
You're starting to get it, okay. So that's, okay, and you didn't start
it.
Oh, you didn't look at it yet. Hannah, did you? No. No, okay. All right, so let's, so what do you want to do today? What I just, okay, so let's just review. Well, maybe let's, okay, so we have three pshatim in the Gemara in Baba Kama Kuv Zayin. We have Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Riva, right? So I'll just quickly review, and then if you have questions, you just ask me, because I don't know how much detail to give you in the review. So so Rashi learns that... that Erev, again, the issue is how to understand Rav Chiya Bar Yosef. As far as Rav Chiya Bar Abba, that there's full agreement what he's saying, and that is for a Shomer to be Chayev, to swear, let's say, in Nignava, there would also have to be, in the case itself, a Moda B'mitzas, which would mean he's got to be Kofer one item, Moda to one item, and then on the third item, he would claim it was stolen. If that's the case, then he'll swear on the one that was stolen. If you don't have a moda b'mitzas in the case, what does that mean you don't have it? Either you don't have a hodah, or you don't have a kfira. If one of those two is missing, then even if he claims on an item that it was stolen, he's not chayiv to swear. This is what Rav Chiya Bar Abba said. Rav Chiya Bar Yosef disagrees. And he says, Erev Parshios Kosuv Kan. Question is, what does Erev Parshios mean? So Rashi says, what it means is that the phrase Ki Hu Zeh is simply written in the wrong place. A very strange shot. That really the words Ki Hu Zeh really belong somewhere else. Where do they belong? They belong, in another Parsha in Mishpatim that talks about a halva, in Kesef Talveh Sami. So really it doesn't belong here. Now, what does it mean to say that it doesn't belong here? Why doesn't it belong here? What's wrong with keeping it where it is? So Rashi goes on to explain the Gemara, because in a case of a pikadon, even if the shomer was simply a kofer hakol, he'd be chayv shvua min haTorah as a shomer. A shomer who, what does kofer hakol mean? He says, you never gave it to me, or I returned it already. He doesn't make any claim of Geneva, nothing. He just says, you never gave it to me. He's a kofer akol. According to the way Rashi learns, a shomer is chai v'shvua for kofer akol, min haTorah. Why? Because Rashi says the whole reason why a kofer akol, say by a halva, is not chai of min haTorah, is because of the fact of eno demeis panov. And why do we assume that in a halva eno demeis panov? Because the malva did him a favor, osa lo tova. So how could the defendant, how could the lova simply, just be oblivious to this favor, and therefore we don't assume that he would lie to his face. So that's why a kofer hakol in a halva case is pater from a shvua, because if in fact he is a kofer hakol, he must be telling the truth. In a shomer where the mafkid is not doing the shomer any favors, then, according to Rashi, the Torah is actually afraid that the Shomer might be lying when he's kofer hakol. So therefore, the Torah itself demands a shvua. So really, the Torah then would demand a shvua of any person who is a kofer hakol, where there is no what? Tova. Where no tova was done. Shomer happens to be such a case. Isn't that right? So then it comes out, according to Rashi, if a Shomer is a kofer hakol, he's chayv shvua min haTorah. And what would be if a shomer claims nignava, just nignava, that's it? What? He also has to swear in at Torah. That's all. So based on Erev Parshios, according to Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, the halachas of Shomer are radically different than according to Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Isn't that right? According to Rav Chiya Bar Abba, if a Shomer is a kofar hakol, what's the halacha? Potter. If a Shomer is simply a motive b'mikzas, if he's motive b'mikzas, now what if a Shomer is motive b'mikzas, which means he's kofar b'mikzas and moda b'mikzas, that's all. To be chai v'shvua. If he also happens to claim nignava on one of the items, besides being motive b'mikzas, then he'll also swear on nignava. But he would never have to swear on nignava unless he was also... So really what it means then is, if he's chai for a shvua of motive b'mikzas, then he'll also swear on nignava if he claims on one of the items that it was stolen. Isn't that right? Now, this is according to Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees, and the major point of disagreement is that Rashi is claiming that a Shomer who claims Kofar HaKol is Chai V'Shvu Min HaTorah. This, all the Balei HaTosfos could never accept. And we know, we saw from other Tosfos, because they believe that a Kofar HaKol is always Potter, no matter whether you're a Lova, a Shomer, it doesn't make a difference. Kofar HaKol is always part of Min HaTorah from a Shavua. So it's impossible for them to follow Rashi. So how did they learn? So Rabbeinu Tam says, Erev Parshios doesn't mean that the Pasuk is in the wrong place. It's in one of the right places. It's just that the phrase, Ki Huzeh, from its inception, is commenting on what? On two places. From the very inception. Not that it's commenting on one and then through a binyanav we apply it to other cases. No. Erev Parshios means it's as if you have two Parshios, you know, together, that the words Ki Huzeh are applying to two Parshios at the same time, even though it's only written in one of them. So in that sense, it's mixed in. But it's not in the wrong place. I mean, the only thing that the Torah could have done was write the phrase Ki Huzeh twice. So instead of writing it twice, they wrote it once, but it was meant to apply to both simultaneously. Let me just finish the summary then. So now, what does it mean to say that it applies to both? What it means is that just as a hodah is necessary in a lova case, in order to what? In order to make the lova chayiv to swear when he's kofar. That means he also has to be moda, which means he has to be moda b'mitzas. So too, a shomer who claims nignava also has to be moda. So that the requirement of some hodah in order to create a shvua on the... In other words, each case, a lova is going to make a claim for which he feels should exempt him from something, right? A shomer too is making a claim to exempt him. Now, the claim of a lover would be a kfira. I said, I didn't borrow it, or I paid it. What's the typical claim of a shomer? It was stolen. It was an onus. So just as a hodah b'mikzas is required for the lover to have to swear when he makes a claim trying to exempt himself, namely a claim of kfira, so too a shomer has to be mowed in order to be chayiv v'shvua on the claim that he is expressing to exempt himself, namely the claim of nignava. Isn't that right? This is Rabbeinu Tam. Now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Gemara in Kuf Zayin and Baba Kama, so really then, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is there a difference between a halva case and a shmira case? None. So when the Gemara asks the question, Maishna Milva, it can't mean why is Milva different, because it's not different. So what did Rabbeinu Tam say? That Maishna means what's the reason why a Milva, what? What is the reason why a Milva is Chai V'Shvu altogether when he's Motiv B'Mikzas? And basically all the Gemara was interested to know was what Rabba said. You know, B'nei Ma'amra Torah, and they went through the whole thing. And then the last sentence that we have in our Gemara, V'gabi Milva, Hu Digal Meimar Hachel, V'gabi Pikadim Meir Zamei, is according to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says it doesn't belong there, and it should be omitted. And Tosis claims that in some old manuscripts it wasn't there. Then you have the Riva, who says that... he learns that a kofar hakol, a shomer who's kofar hakol, is potter from a shavua. All the Balei HaTosfos thought that way. However, a shomer who what? Who claims just nignava alone, what's the halach if he claims nignava? Is he chai v'shavua? Yes, he's chai v'shavua. And so what does Erev Parshios, so what is Rav Chiya Bar Yosef then saying about Erev Parshios? That when the Torah said ki hu zeh in the Parsha of Shomrim, when the Torah actually said the phrase ki hu zeh, it is talking about a shomer. It's just that the way it should be understood is that we have to understand that where is it that a shomer would have to what? Would have to be moda to something in order to be chayiv is only if what? If he makes the kind of a claim that a lova would make. When I say a claim of what? A claim to be exempt from something, right? Which is what the only way a lova could be to exempt himself is if he's kofar, right? No other claim would exempt him. Either he says, you know, I never borrowed it or I paid it already. Those are the only kind of claims that would exempt him from having to pay, you know, what the plaintiff is asking for. So the whole Gemara then is talking about what? That that ki hu zeh, that where is a hodah necessary? Does ki hu zeh is telling us that he's moded to something? Says the Rival, where is it necessary for a shomer to be moded to something? It's only if he's making, besides being moded, that he's also making a claim, but the kind of claim that a lova would typically make. What would that be? A kfira. But if the shomer is what? Is making what claim? Ones nignava, then what? Then there's no need for what? Then there's no need for him to be moded to anything. If he simply claims nignava, he's chai v'shvua. To which, that's why the Gemara then is asking, Maishna milva, so why is milva different? Why is it that a milva, a lov, is only chai when he's kofar, is only if he's moded to something? But a shomer who claims nignava is always chai. And what did the Gemara explain the reason is? Because by a lova, what? Since we say what? Ein adam meis pana b'fnei bal chovo. So that's why if there's just a kfira without a hodah, what would be the din? What? There's no shavua because ein adam meis. So, however, then when is the only instance that a kfira would result in a chiyuv shvuah for a lova? When would a shomer who is kofar, when would it be chayev to swear if he's kofar? Only if he's moded to something, right? But if he simply claims what? A nignava, since he could easily be meyiz, because the balabais doesn't know whether it was stolen or not, balabais knows nothing. So it's very easy for him to be meyiz, meyiz u meyiz. So that's why he'd be chayiv shvua even without a hodah. Isn't that right? Just on what I've said so far, any questions on that? Let's just, yeah.
Well, what you just said, you assume that the reason why Kofar, can you assume that the reason why Kofar calls Pater is because of
okay, according to the Riva, is that the conclusion, according to the Riva, that the reason why, let's look at the Riva inside for a second. I'm looking in Baba Kama. He does say because Eno de Meis, no? Does he mention anything else? You see where I am? Venera Kiperish Riva. I'm in Kuf Zayin and Baba Kama. The Mefarish Kiksev Kiuza Milva who dechsev Vehilkach, but because Namilo Makminele El Betana de Shaicha Bemilva, the Hainu Bekfira of Ahoda, Avotanas Nan Sulo. What does lo mean? No what? No.
You don't need the requirements of Moda.
Yeah, you don't need a Hoda. Vachi Kamar. Maishna, now he's explaining the Gemara. Maishna Tana de Shaicha Bemilva, Mitanas Nansu. That's what the Gemara is asking. why should a claim of which the kind of claim that you'll find by a halva, namely what, a claim of kfira, why is a claim of kfira different than a claim of nanso? So the Gemara is really asking on a shomer. Why? What's the difference if a shomer claims if he's kofir versus claiming nanso? Umasa kida rabba, and the Gemara concludes it's based on rabba, v'gabi milva, hu digla meimar hachi klomer betana de shaycha, I'm sorry. Umasa kida rabba, v'gabi milva, hu digla meimar hachi klomer betana ha-shaycha b'milva kagon kfir v'hoda, de'ein mei ispon of lichpor b'midi de'yoda be'chavrei. So what's that saying? That a person wouldn't have the guts, what? To deny something that he knows that the plaintiff knows that he's lying. Avo bepikodon klomer tan hashaycha bepikodon kagon nansu de lo yode bechavrei meiz umeiz umachayev below hoda. But by a case of pikodon, namely, what does it mean? So when the Gemara uses the phrase pikodon, they don't mean as opposed to a halva case. When they talk about a pikodon, what do they mean? The claim that you would ordinarily find in a case of picado, namely a claim of onus or geneva. Now, did you all have problems with the next sentence?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so what did you do with it? And then it says, de'im kofer hakol hoya potor. De'im kofer hakol hoya potor. Bemitzas nami potor. Bemigo di boy kofer hakol. First of all, did I read it? Did you read it the same way? Did you?
We read it a few different ways.
Okay, so let me hear what you did with this. Okay, so what did you? Okay, what did you do with this? Din kofer hakol hoya potter.
Is it din kofer hakol hoya potter or din kofer hoya potter?
Say what was the first way?
Din kofer hakol. If he denied everything, hoya potter, he would have been exempt. Or.
If you go the first way, then what would be the rest? Dim kofer hakol, that if he were a kofer hakol, hoya potter.
Therefore, if he's with the mixah, he should also be potter from biga.
Yeah, but.
You're implying him even though you already used it.
But I thought we said that he wouldn't be. He doesn't have a migo because he knows the meis panov. So that doesn't make any sense, right? As dim kofer hakol, even if you read it the second way, if you still understand it the same way, dim kofer hakol hoya potter, if kofer hakol is potter, then b'mitzas nami potter, b'migo di boy kofer hakol. What is he talking about? If kofer hakol is potter, yeah, kofer hakol is potter. So he says, if kofer hakol is potter, then even kofer b'mitzas should be potter because he has a migo that he could have been a kofer hakol. But that's exactly what Rabbah said in the Gemara, that no, because Eino Demei is Panav. So what is Tosis? So, no, what did you do with it? Yeah, what did you...
Well,
yeah.
Well, maybe he's proving that it has to be talking when it says that Tachi Avat Gavi Pikadon Meis Meis, it has to be talking about Onus.
Yes.
Because it can't be talking about Kofra Hakol, because we already learned that... Because if you say that it's kofer hakol, then he would have had, then he would have been putter had he said, had he claimed,
okay. No. Yes?
We suggested this. I don't know if this has any validity, but
go ahead.
Maybe koferakol here doesn't mean koferakol. It means onus.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
That's what we said. And then we're like, but how could he say that?
Because
that seems like really weird to use the word koferakol to mean onus, but.
In this context,
it flowed from the
in the context, you're right. If you take the words kofer hakol, yeah, right. I would never say kofer hakol means onus. It doesn't.
But since he was talking about onus,
but he's in the because he wants to talk about a case. What is he trying to say? He's trying to say that you don't need a hodah. You don't have to be motive to anything. For what?
For
Shomer to be chayav a shavua on onus. Notice, he could be, that's what he said, he can be in total denial. Now, he doesn't mean that the guy said, lo hayu devarim me'olam, or hechzarti. He's just trying to tell you, by using the words kofar kol, what is he just trying to say to you? Yeah. He wasn't motive to anything. So dim kofar hakol hoyopotan, in a case where he denies it all, meaning he's not motive to anything. So what does that mean? So what does he claim?
Onus.
If that was potter, right? If you're going to say that if a guy is simply claiming onus, a shomer who claims onus, if that's all, if that is potter from a shavua, then even if he were moda to some, he would be moda to one animal and then claim onus on the second animal, he would be potter too. Why? Because he has a migo. What's the migo? Believe me when I say what? That one, I'm motive to one and I'm claiming onus on the second one. Believe me, because why? Because
I could have said
onus on them all, and if I would have, is Eino Domeya standing in the way?
No.
Why?
Because someone would be made to say onus.
Yeah, because the guy doesn't know that I'm lying. He doesn't know that I'm not telling the truth. If I would have said onus on both of them, because the balabais wasn't there, he doesn't know what happened to the animals. The only one who knows is the shomer. So what he's trying to explain to us, why we have to assume that what? That a hodah is what? Is not necessary in a shomer case in order to create a chi of shavua when he claims onus. See, in a halva type case, then what? You don't have that problem. What problem? Where that a real kofra kol is potter. So if he's motive b'miktsas, he doesn't have a migo. Why doesn't he have a migo? Because ain't no the mayas. Because in a halva type case, what would the kfira have to be? I paid you back already, or I never borrowed the money. Now that's ha'aza, that's chutzpah, because the balabais knows whether that's true or not. But in a case of onus, where he is not going, so I understood it, and you're right, if I was writing it, I wouldn't have written it that way. I realized the problem, it bothered me a lot, but I didn't know what else. I felt that this was the only way I was able to understand it, and it can fit into the context, because he's trying to explain what by a shomer? You don't need a hodah of any kind in order for what? In order for a shomer to have to swear when he says onus. That's his whole point. So by saying the words kol for a kol, he's just trying to say that there was no hodah to anything. In that regard, there's a total denial. So all there is a claim of onus. Otherwise, he's denying everything. That's, yeah.
In the case of Nansu.
Yeah.
But that.
What's wrong with that?
Good proof.
I'm sorry?
I don't see why he's like saying that as if like this is the reason why it makes sense that Nansu works. Nansu makes him chayav a shavua even without hodah.
Yeah.
But it only works for him.
Who's him?
It only works for the Riva, who says that there's no ha'azah.
And what's wrong with that? Makes a lot of sense. It's a reasonable position that there's no ha'azah when a shomer claims onus.
So you're saying the same point over again.
What's wrong with it? It's a valid point. Tosis doesn't... Rabbeinu Tam would not disagree with that assumption that in the case of onus, it doesn't take any ha'azah to claim onus.
Rabbeinu Tam does disagree with that.
He would say that there's ha'aza.
Yeah, that a person doesn't. Yeah.
Where do you know that Rabbeinu Tam?
Rabbeinu Tam speaks out that line.
No, he took it out because, not because it's not true, it's just that it has no relevance. It's not, what would it mean for Rabbeinu Tam to have that line? It would mean then that you would that a shomer would have to swear even without a hodah.
Right. So
but Rabbeinu Tam doesn't say that. He says you need a hodah. That's why he took out the line.
Right, but isn't he, by saying that, isn't he saying that he doesn't think that someone would say just Nansu?
No, if somebody would say Nansu, a person could say Nansu, and we, because we don't distrust it if he simply says Nansu, we believe him.
If he says Moda, the Rebbe is responding to Rebbe Natan, because the Rebbe says that Rebbe Natan is wrong, because if Rebbe Natan holds that just Nansu doesn't have a Shavua, and Nansu plus Moda does, then why,
why don't you have
there?
Right. Oh, so that's your point? I mean, what Chava is saying, I mean, what, how does Rebbe Natan respond?
Right. So I thought it was that he doesn't think it exists because he still claims that
what?
That a person wouldn't be brazen enough to say just Nansu.
Really? Why not?
Because for the same reason he wouldn't be Kofar HaKol.
But it's not the same reason. That's the problem. In a real Kofar HaKol, the Balabayas knows.
But I thought Rabbi Natan was saying that we always assume that you're only going to suspect someone when they're Moda to someone.
You're only going to suspect. Yeah, we suspect because your mother, but not because had you been a kofar HaKol, had you said only nignava, that would also be considered chutzpah.
Right, but if you.
So how do you know that?
But then you run into Chava's problem. If you say that he doesn't have a problem with just saying Nansu, then when he says Nansu plus Moda, he should be believed.
Okay, so I think I might have an answer for that, but we're not ready. Chava is asking a very good kasha. How would Rabbeinu Tam respond to what the last thing that we just read in the Riva, that if Kofar HaKol is Potter, then a Moda B'Mikzah should also be Potter, which we understood what? To mean what? That if a claim of Nignava is Potter, then even if he was Moda and claimed Nignava, he should also be Potter because he has a Migo. What's the Migo? That he could have simply said what?
They were all stolen.
No, not necessarily.
It's
somewhere else. Actually, we don't want to say it's right there because then it would be halach. I don't know if you know what I mean. You have to.
We didn't really understand the end.
What?
We saw halach at the end, but we didn't know what it was.
Oh, okay. Right. 1 second. So, one second. So, how would Rabbeinu Tam respond to that? Why isn't there amigo? So if he claims nignava, why don't we believe? So that even if he claims, he's moted to one cow and he claims nignava on the second cow. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, he's chayv shvua on the nignava claim. Isn't that right? How would he respond to this point that the Riva is making? Is why does he have to swear? He has amigo. What's the amigo? Believe me when I am moted to one and I'm claiming nignava on the other one, because if I'm lying, I could have said what? Nignava on both of them. Now, I was assuming that if he claimed Nignava on both of them, it doesn't involve chutzpah, because I assumed that all the Balei HaTosfos were saying that the basis for chutzpah is what? No, that the plaintiff knows you're lying. But in this case, if he claims Nignava on both of them, he doesn't know you're lying. And he didn't do you a favor either. So those are the only two reasons that we knew about as to why we would assume it's chutzpah. Now, Devor, if you want to come up with some other, then you have to develop a whole other reason.
I just assume that, because then otherwise you have a problem.
Okay, but I didn't want to take that route to say that it's still chutzpah, because I don't know why it's chutzpah.
Well, I thought you also had to say that it's chutzpah because that helps you, that plays into, in Shavuos, why.
Yeah, but there was.
You have to assume that Rabbeinu Tam thinks that he wouldn't be able to say Nansu.
Well, we'll come back to. You'll tell me. I don't know what you mean yet. We'll come back to Shavuos. But maybe there's another way that you could. Okay, that's a good kasha. I mean, right now I don't. Let's just go a drop further in Tosfos. What is the next thing? Umihu, betanos kfira. I feel the makam shiyachalaha is potter. Mi betanos kfira. I feel the makam shiyachalaha is potter. The gzeres hakasafu. What does that mean? But what do you mean by tanos kfira?
The
What kind of a kefir? What is he
kofer?
What is a kofer akol? A real kofer akol. However, in a real claim of kefira, even b'mokum sheyachal lahoyis, like what would that mean?
Like the son
with the father's son case. I feel among sheyachal lahoyis patur gzeres akosavul because. So I assume he means the same thing that Tosis and other places said, that what, that Kiyu says, exeris akosav, that kofra kol is pater. Right?
So you think
Tadur
means two different things?
Pardon?
Here he means...
It's, I don't know what else... I got the same problem. It's not like I'm saying it's what you're asking, what bothers you didn't bother me. It bothered me too, but I don't have an... I don't know how else to read it. I don't know if there's any really... I think that is the pshat. It's just that I wouldn't have written it this way. I don't know what else to say. Okay, so now, so let me ask you, so let's now, Tosis then goes in to start talking about the Gemara and Shavuos, but let's do it ourselves. So now we look back at the Gemara and Shavuos. Now, what did the Gemara and Shavuos say? Rav and Shmuel both said that if there are no Edim that could testify to what?
That
he hired this guy, then the Balabayas has a Migo, and the Migo has believed me that I paid him already, because if I had wanted to, I could have said I never hired him, because there are no Edim. So the Balabayas has a Migo, and then he would win, and the Socher would not be a Nishba Benotel. The Socher would lose. It would simply be a Motzeh Chaver Lo Faraya. Isn't that right? So Rav, and the Rami Bar Chama praised it, and then Rava comes along and says, what kind of halach is this? Because if it's right, if Rav and Shmuel are right, then a shomer, why does a shomer who claims onus, why does he have to swear? He should be pater because he has a migo that he could have said either lohoya devar me'olam, or he could have said hechzarti. To which, finally, Rami Bar Chama answered that, yeah, you're right. And the only instance where the Torah demands a shavua on the part of the shomer, if he claims onus, is if there was a shtar. Because if there was a shtar, then the shomer would not be believed to say hechzarti, because the balabayas could then turn around back and say shtar chabiyadi, my boy. Isn't that right? Now, so Tosfos in Shavuos and Tosfos here too points out that this Gemara does not work out according to Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam. Why? Because who can do it? Start with Rashi. Why doesn't that Gemara work out according to Rashi? Yes?
Because according to Rashi, in a case where the Shomer would claim Lo Hayidvar Me'olam, he would be Chayav to swear.
Yes, yeah, so there's no Migo. How Migo was, well, believe me that I shouldn't have to swear in onus because I could have said Hechzarti. Which, of course, the assumption is that had you said Hechzarti, you'd be potter from a shavua. But according to Rashi, you're chayav shavua anyway. So there's no migo. The migo cannot potter you from a shavua, because had you made the other claim, you would have been chayav to swear. Yeah.
Isn't it better for him to swear and pay nothing? I mean, if you're moda.
Not moda.
Meaning?
You claim lahay devar me'olam.
But in either case, though, the oath is the same, but what you're paying is different.
You're not paying anything.
An onus?
If you claim onus, you're swearing that it's an onus. If you claim hechzarti...
Okay, my question about Rabbeinu Tam. Well, I'll look at the question.
Okay. What I just said is Rashi. So then Rabbeinu Tam, who can now explain the problem with Rabbeinu Tam? Why is it that Rabbeinu Tam... anyone? Yes? Yes?
Because... Okay, well, Rabbeinu Tam has to explain. According to Rabbeinu Tam, there are two objects in this case and not one.
Why the two?
Onus case. Because he says...
When you say in this case, what case?
Where the shomer claims that onus happened.
Yes.
The only scenario we could be talking about is obviously where he'd be chayav in a shvua in this onus case, which according to Rabbeinu Tam is only in a scenario where you have two items. One you claim that you owe, and the other one you claim onus happened to it.
Right.
So... the migo is that because he could have said lo hayidvar.
So that's the situation that you have to start with, because otherwise a shomer would not be chayav to swear onus if there wasn't also a hodah. So that's the case. Now, if Rava now is saying is, why does he have to swear when he claims onus? We should believe him with amigo that he could have said either hechsarti or lohayu devarim me'olam. So go ahead.
Okay. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, now that we have two items that the shomer could be discussing, we have to say according to Rabbeinu Tam, lohayu devarim me'olam, which item are we talking about? The one that he claimed onus on, or the one that he claims it's true that I owe it to you?
Right.
So according to Toso, no matter how you read it, it doesn't make sense according to Rabbeinu Tam.
You go ahead, why?
Because if you say that lo hayu devarim me'olam is the migo that you applied to the cow, let's say, that you claimed onus on, then it would be a case of your moze on one and your kofer on the other. That's moze mimiksat, and everyone would agree in that case that you're chayav in a shvuah.
You're still chayav in a shvuah, so you haven't gained anything.
Right.
And if
you claim that on the one that you, the cow that you did owe, that lo hayu devarim me'olam, then it's a case of onas and kofer, and that's just a bad migo.
Why is it a bad migo?
Because then in any case where the guy says, I owe you something, because he could have said, I don't owe you something, then we believe him.
Yeah, that's the classic. That's exactly why, that's Rabbah's halacha, that we don't believe you because you could have denied the whole thing. We don't believe you in what you say because with the migo that you could have denied the whole thing because they know the mayor's panav, right?
He had to apply any of the mayor's.
Yeah. So what, we should believe you when you're motivated to something because you could have denied it? No. You wouldn't have denied it because it takes chutzpah to deny it to the, you know, to the person who knows you're lying. Isn't that right? So according to Rabbeinu Tam, says Tosas, no matter which one, on which animal he could have said lahadama, and it doesn't work out. It just doesn't work. So therefore, now why is it that according to the Riva, however, but according to the Riva, claims Tosas, that Gemara does work. Why? Because according to the Riva, if a shomer claims what? Nignava or onus, just onus alone, is he chayv shvuah? Yes. If a shomer is actually a kofer hakol, a real kofer hakol, is he chayv shvuah?
No.
So now it's perfect. So what is Rava saying to Rami Bar Chama? If you're right, then why does a shomer have to swear what? When he claims onus, we should believe him because he has a migo of what? I could have said hechazarti. Isn't that right? Now all the, and had he claimed hechazarti or lo hayu devarim me'olam, the way the Riva learns, he would be potter. So therefore it's a very good migo.
But don't you have the same problem with Riva that you had at the Rabbeinu Tam?
What problem?
The migo's bad because of Ana
Damei. No. Okay. Okay. Now, so I know exactly what you're asking. But I'm gonna go about that just in a different way. So let's remember when we first started the Gemara in Shavuos, we raised the question of what is Rava doing? I mean, Rava now is all of a sudden he wakes up and he starts asking kashas about a shomer. But why does a shomer have to swear when he claims onus? Because he could have been a kofer hakol. Remember, so what Rava is asking a kasha on the halach of migo. Why should migo ever work? Or is he specifically asking his kasha because of Rami Bar Chama? Which, or to say that differently, or because of what Rav and Shmuel said?
I think right, he's asking on Shmuel.
Okay. This is what the end of the Tosfos in Shavuos says, which I thought was very important. That Tosfos says, you know what I'm referring to? Tosfos says, let's see, where is it now? Afal gav de ein ze migo tov. Even though this is not a good migo, de ein adomei is lichpor hakol. Avonensu den chaver makar b'shikro noach lo litom. Tov says, even though this is not a good migo, what's not a good migo? To say a shomer who claims onus, let's believe him with a migo because he could have said what? Hechzarti. That's not really a good migo. Why is it not a good migo? Because to claim hechzarti requires more chutzpah than to claim what? Onus. Because in hechzarti, the balabais knows he's lying. But a claim of onus, the balabais doesn't know that he's lying. He doesn't know anything. right? Mikol makom parach shaper l'shmuel de'islay ki hay migo the Noach lo lomar tvei nasat l'chos chorcha shlo yichashdeu hasocha ki meshaker b'mezid l'fi shu torud. What does that mean? Who understood that? Yes.
That when a Baal HaBayit tells the Sachir that I already paid you, it's possible that the Sachir will think that he's just mistaken because he's tired, not that he's actually lying to him.
Yeah. As opposed to what? As opposed to what claim?
He never hired you in the first place.
Yeah.
Therefore, you can't compare the level of.
No, Shmuel, Rav too. Shmuel is claiming that a Baal HaBayit has a migo. What's the migo? Believe me when I say I paid you, because I could have said I never hired you. So Tosis now points out, yeah, but wait a second. Claiming that I paid you, let me say the other way around, saying that I never hired you requires more chutzpah than to say what? That I paid you. Why? Because if I said I paid you, you might be done me lekafschus and say, oh, he's so busy, he thinks he paid me, but he's just making an honest mistake. I don't really think you're trying to cheat me. But if you tell me, I never hired you, or that, you know whether you hired me or not, and I know you're lying. So that takes more chutzpah. So that's the point. If Shmuel thinks that a nigo of this type, which type? Where the potential claim, what's the potential claim? Let's say by the Sochir, the potential claim is that I never hired you, requires more chutzpah than the actual claim that he made. The actual claim was, I paid you, and nevertheless, the Migo is still effective according to Shmuel. So that's what Rava says. If you're right, Shmuel, then a Shomer too? Then why does a Shomer have to swear he has a migo, and you'll tell me, what's the migo? The migo is, he could have said lahadam. I lahadam requires more chutzpah. But that's the point. That's exactly what Rav is saying to Shmuel. Shmuel, if you're right, the fact that it requires more chutzpah, so what? See, until Shmuel said his halacha, I would have said that every migo, that if the migo requires more chutzpah, then the migo is out. But Shmuel is still keeping a migo that requires more chutzpah. Isn't that right? So, just one second. So there's a machlokus here between Rava and Shmuel about what? So how would you, what's the machlokus here? Whether a migo, if the migo requires a claim that would demand of the person more chutzpah to make that claim, is that a valid migo or not? Now what does Shmuel believe?
Yes.
Shmuel believes yes, and Rava can't accept it, because if that is valid, then every Shomer should not have to swear. To which Rami Bar Chama finally responded, yeah, he wouldn't have to swear, unless it's what? As a shtar. Now, the big question, would maybe you're all thinking of, how could Shmuel say this? I mean, does Shmuel deny what Rava, what Reish Beis Hay, what Rabba said about Mibnei Ma'omer Torah Moda B'Mixas Yeshava, the way Tosus learned that it was what? Why don't we believe him with Amigo? Because he could have been a Kofar HaKol, to which the Gemara said, no, he wouldn't have been a Kofar HaKol. Why? Because Chazaka, Eino Demeis Panu B'Fnei Balchovo. Isn't that right? So don't you see from that what? That Amigo that would require what? A claim that's more ha'oza than his actual claim is a faulty migo, and we don't say it. Isn't that the whole point? But Shmuel doesn't accept that.
Well, maybe he's saying it's a completely, like, he's talking about different levels of ha'oza.
What do you mean? Maybe you have the right, I don't know what you mean by different levels.
Meaning, like, he's saying that in both cases there is ha'oza, just there can be different levels.
I don't mean by a level. What do you call levels?
Like, really brazen or somewhat brazen. Oh. He might know you're lying, or like
he does or he doesn't.
What?
If the Baal HaBayit says I never hired you, I'm assuming that the worker knows that the Baal HaBayit is lying.
So
you want to change that? You want to change that premise?
That no, there you know that he's lying.
And sure. If I'm a Kofar HaKol, I also
you know you're lying.
If Fine. So the knowledge of lying is the same.
Well, but
so what's the difference then? What did you want to say?
Because you're comparing, Shmuel's comparing it to a case where you also could be lying.
I'm not following. What means comparing it to a case? What case? What case is he comparing it to?
The MIGA works.
Yeah.
You can lie in both cases, both claims.
I could claim I paid you, but I could have said I never hired you. So I'm not following, so therefore what?
I don't know.
Okay, Sharon, you wanted to say something?
It's kind of the same as what Sarah's saying, I think.
Okay, I guess, go ahead.
So, you can claim you paid, or you can claim that you never hired. Both of those require a degree of chutzpah.
Yes.
But she's saying it's like a different degree of chutzpah, and so the way...
But that's what I don't understand. What do you mean a different degree?
Right. So the way chutzpah is defining chutzpah,
okay,
is that the person to whom you're lying knows that you're lying.
Yes.
Right? So in the case of...
Or the suspect.
Right. In the case of I paid you, we're saying there might be like a domicile split thing. So like if you say that you paid me, I know that you're wrong. So in a way, I know that you're lying. But it goes farther than that if you say you didn't hire me, because not only do I know that you're lying, but I know you know I know.
But that's true in both scenarios. When you say I never hired you, I know that you're lying, and you know that I know you're lying. And if I said, and if I'm a kofer hakol, it's the same thing.
Well, no, you asked your question again, please.
No, that's only if you say I never hired you, but if you say I just haven't paid you, I don't know that you're lying. I suspect that you're lying, but it could just be that you don't actually intend to lie, you're just mistaken.
Well, that's the point. But making a claim of I never hired you, that's, you're just, you know. That's a harder claim to make than a claim that I paid you. That's the whole point that Tosis is making. Yes?
Can you say that it's not necessarily the level of chutzpah, but it's how much you're willing to jump for the MIGO?
Yes, go ahead.
So like, if I claim that I owe you the money, you can't have a MIGO of, I don't owe you the money. That's too large of a step of a MIGO, as opposed to what the Revi is saying, which parallels what Shmuel saying, which is the original case, what he does actually claim, is not that I paid you back already, it's that, you know, like, it's already making a claim of I don't owe you the money, either because of onus or because I paid it to you.
Good, very good.
And then the MIGO is a different reason why I wouldn't owe it to you.
She's right. Understand what she said? Who got it? No, I'll repeat it. Very good. The problem is this. What's our problem? Our problem is that how could Shmuel allow such a MIGO to work? It's, from our perspective, it should be a faulty MIGO. It should be thrown out. Why? Because this MIGO requires chutzpah. It does. Unless you change your premise. Because if we accept the premise that an employer who says to his worker, I paid you, is an easier claim to make than a claim of what, that I never hired you. If we accept that premise, then it comes out that you're making a MIGO, that the MIGO works even if the potential claim is a harder claim to make, because it requires more chutzpah. Now that's against what we've been assuming all along, that for a MIGO to be effective, the both claims, the one that you make and the potential claim, have to have the same degree of difficulty in making it, or has to have the same degree of ease in making them. Isn't that true? But if the potential claim is harder to make than the actual claim, then the MIGO, and where do we get that idea from? From what Rabba said, Neimah Amra Torah, why don't you have the MIGO, the way Tosis learns Rabba, why don't you have the MIGO, because I could have been a Kofra Kol, to which the Gemara answered, no, you wouldn't have been a Kofra Kol, because that takes more chutzpah. Isn't that the whole point? So what you could answer is the following. that there's a big difference between the Sochir case and let's say a Lover who is Moda B'Mikzas, and the question is, does he have a Migo that he could have been a Kofra Kol? In the case of the Sochir, what are we talking about? We're talking about his salary. Now his salary, let's say, is $100 for the day. Now, the Balabais is saying to him, I don't owe you $100. I don't owe it to you. Now, his actual claim is, I don't owe it to you because I paid it already. That's why I don't owe it. Now, what would be the potential claim? The potential claim, the claim that he could have, the Migo claim, is what? I never hired you, and that's why I don't owe you $100. So the amount of money is the same. The question is, do I owe you $100? The Balabais is saying, I don't owe you $100. Now, there are two possible claims that he could make, that could be made, which would exempt him from paying $100. Either he paid it already, or he never hired him. But the amount of money is the same. The difference is, the potential claim does require more chutzpah than the actual claim. Isn't that true? Now, Shmuel apparently is willing to overlook that. And Rav is getting all excited. What do you mean you're overlooking it? Now, in the case of Mipnei Ma'om Ratar by Moda B'Mikzas, the classic example, Moda B'Mikzas, why does Moda B'Mikzas have to swear, let him be believed with Amigo, because he could have been a Kofer HaKol? Look what's going on in that case. What does the Lova, what is he willing to pay? Let's say it's a $100 loan. The Malva comes to the Lova, where's my $100? Says the Lova, I only owe you 40 because I've already paid back 60. So what is he denying? He's denying 60. So what is the only amount of money that he's willing to pay? So he's willing to pay 40 and he's denying 60. Now, what's the Migo? So believe me that I only owe you 40 and I don't owe you 60, because I could have said I don't owe you 100. So the actual claim is what? That I only owe you 40 or that I don't owe you 60. And what's the potential claim? That I owe you nothing. Right, that I owe you nothing. Now, in that, when you look at the actual claim and the potential claim, the level of chutzpah is based on what? It's not only based on what?
Why?
On the ease in which you can make the potential claim. The chutzpah is also because of what? Mm-hmm. That you would have denied more. What is the chutzpah? Not only do I recognize you're lying, your lie to me is so outrageous because the potential claim is that you would have denied more. You understand what I'm saying? I know that you know that I'm lying. So what would be the lie that the lover would be making? The lie would be to say that I don't owe you anything, which means that the denial of the potential claim is far more potent than his actual claim. You understand what I'm saying? In the case of the worker with the socher and the employer, how much money is the Balabais denying, whether you look at the actual claim or the potential claim? It's the same amount of money. It's the same $100. The only question is, what claim is he going to make to exempt him from it? So then Shmuel is of the opinion that what? That even though the potential claim requires more chutzpah, apparently Shmuel believes that amigo is still effective min haTorah. You'll ask me a kasha, but don't we know that that's not true? Don't we know from Rabbah's halacha of Eino Domeus Ponu B'fnei Bal Chovo? So Shmuel would say that's different. In that case, it wasn't only that there was more chutzpah. In that case, his potential claim was a greater denial. He was denying more. I mean, think of it. I'll give extreme examples. Let's say I owe you $1 million. At least I borrowed $1 million. So you come to me and say, where's my $1 million? So I say to you, well, I paid you back $950,000. No, I'm sorry. I paid you back. I'm saying to you now, I only owe you. No, I'm saying it bad. So you come, you ask me for $1 million. So I say, I only owe you $900,000 because I paid you back $100,000. So when I say to you that I only owe you $900,000, you should believe me, because I could have said, I owe you nothing. Can you imagine? You're going from $900,000 down to zero. So believe me when I say I only owe you $900,000, because I could have said I owe you nothing. Don't you, doesn't that, that's very nervy, no? Here, you're only denying $100,000. So believe me when I say that I don't owe you $100,000 and I only owe you $900,000, because if I'm a liar, I would have just said I don't owe you anything. I would have denied the whole $1 million. Well, to not only to lie to the guy, but to deny a guy almost $1 million, I mean, that takes a lot of chutzpah. So that's where Shmuel would say that a migo of chutzpah is unacceptable. But if the amount of the money involved between the actual and the potential claim is the same, it's just that the claim, the potential claim, does require more chutzpah, according to Shmuel, it's still a valid migo. Rava feels what? And what does Rava feel about that? What is Rava's position? The migo is no good. Even if the amount of money is the same, as long as the potential claim is what? You understand what I'm saying? As long as the potential claim requires what? More chutzpah, the migo is defective. It's not chal. The migo is no good. And therefore, that's why Rava said to Shmuel that if you're right that such a migo is good, then why does the shomer ever have to swear he has a migo? You'll tell me it's a harder, the potential claim is harder to make. Because in the shomer case, is the amount of money the same? Yeah. What is the shomer saying? Believe me that I don't have to pay you for the animal. The animal costs $1,000. I don't owe you the $1,000 because of nignava, because I could have said, I returned you already the $1,000. So either way, what is the shomer trying to exempt himself from? Paying $1,000. The only difference is, what is the claim? What claim would he have to make in order to accomplish that? You got it? I think that's a very good answer. Yes.
Well, we're differentiating between los pratiha and pratiha, because
yes,
you say that it's easier for the guy to say I paid you back because there's no tarot. But what about, there is tarot. The guy might say like, oh, he has tarot, so I'll believe him. But so I'll believe the B and C. But what about regular lula cases? When do we ever differentiate between lahadam and pratiha?
What do you mean? When do we ever differentiate? Who says we do? Yeah, so why do we have to be able to differentiate?
Because here we're differentiating the two. Shmuel's two things.
It's only because one requires more chutzpah than the other, but in a lova, whether a lova says I paid you back or I never borrowed, the level of chutzpah is the same because the guy knows that he's lying through his teeth.
So according to Shmuel, the migo is, because I'm saying that I already paid you, you should believe me. Because
I could have said I never hired.
So why don't we just take that to a little bit? Because I'm saying I paid you already,
yeah,
you should believe me, because I could have said that I never borrowed the money.
Yeah, because then you're saying you're saying, well, if the Lovis said I paid you, he wins. You don't need amigo.
Oh, it's just a
yeah, if a Lovis says I paid you, then he's a kofar hakol. There's nothing. You don't even need amigo.
Okay.
Right. Any questions on that? Yes.
Oh, can I ask a question on the general position of the Riva?
Yeah.
All right. In the case of onus plus kofar.
Onus plus kofar. Okay.
So, what would the Riva say in that case?
So let's ask everybody. Chayav shvu on onus. What's the problem?
No, because. Okay, if you have a case of onus plus, so then no matter what, according to Reuven, you're chayav shvu on onus.
Yeah. He's just chayav shvuah. Whenever you claim on, he's chayav shvuah. I don't care if you also claim on another one that you don't own the animal. On the animal that you claim an onus, you're chayav shvuah.
Okay.
You're chayav shvuah. Okay, let me just, we have 1 minute. For the Rima Gash, which we'll do tomorrow, let me just give you some two pieces of information which you might find helpful. In the beginning, those who've started it, he talks about a case of a mashkon.
Yeah.
Now you had to know what halacha about this mashkon is he talking about. Okay, and okay, two things. You had to know what that case is, and at the end of the Rima Gash, he talks about a case of partners of shutfin. What is he? What's that? He's making up a case. Now the Shutfin case is in the Mishnah of our Perek in Shavuos. Remember this long Mishnah we only did at the very beginning. If you look to the end of the Mishnah, you'll find the Mishnah talking about a case of Shutfin. So you have to know that case, and then you'll know. Then you have a chance of figuring out what the Rima Gash says.
But what about the Mishnah?
Now the mashkon, you want me to just tell you?
Yeah.
Okay, this was a takanas ha-ga'onim, that the ga'onim made a takana the following. When do you have a mashkon? Do you understand what is a mashkon, first of all? You know, what does collateral mean? When do you use collateral? In a loan, a guarantee, a loan. In other words, if I loan you $1,000, but I'm worried, I mean, how do I know you'll be able to pay me back? Not because you might cheat me, maybe you'll be bankrupt, you won't have any money, I just need security. So I say to you, look, I'll give you a $1,000 loan, but I need a mashkon. So you say, well, I have jewelry. You have jewelry, and the jewelry, I look at the jewelry, and it looks like, okay, it doesn't... How much does the jewelry have to be worth for me to accept it? Whatever I'm willing to accept, right? So if it's enough, let's see, for me, I want something that should at least equal $1,000. So if I look at the jewelry, if I think it's worth $1,000, I'll have it appraised, whatever it is, I'll accept the jewelry as a mashkon. So you give me the jewelry, you owe me $1,000. Whenever you pay me back the $1,000, I'll return you the jewelry. What if you don't pay me back the $1,000? Then it has to be through Beis Din, but I'll eventually be able to keep the jewelry and I'll be paid back that way. That's my security. Now, if the time ever should come that the Malva wants to, he's demanding his money back, the Lova has no money to pay, or he claims he has no money to pay, and the Malva, claims, what if the Lova claims, I paid it already? So give me back my mashkon. And the Malva says, well, what are you talking about? You didn't pay me anything. That's why I still have your mashkon, right? So there was a takanas ha-ga'onim that in order for the Malva to be able to keep the mashkon, he's got to swear. Swear to what? That he hasn't been paid. So and of course, once he does that, the Lova might then decide to pay him if he wants the jewelry back. You know, that's up to the Lova. If the Lova just keeps denying, you know, says, I paid you, he's not willing to come up with the money, then the Malva will simply keep the mashkon. But it was a takanas ha-ga'onim that he would, so really the Malva is a nishba v'notel. It's a nishba v'no, he'll swear, and then he'll be able to collect. Now, collecting could mean what? The Lova would now have to pay out the $1,000, or the Malva would simply keep the mashkon, right? Right? This is the Shavua that the Rima Gash is talking about. Yeah?
Before this takana, what happens to that?
Okay, so that's what you have to try to figure out. Okay? Before the takana, let me give you a Gemara that you might find helpful. A Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, about three quarters of the way down the Amud. about 2, 4, 6, 8, about 10, 11 lines from the bottom of the Amud, you'll see there's a case about goats that ate chushla. I don't know what it is, some vegetation from another person's field. And there's a whole case about what the owner of the food, the owner of this vegetation, how is he going to get his money back because somebody else's animals ate on his field. So you'll see this case of easy, our goats, the ochlu chushla, the naharda. Take a look at that case. That will be very helpful. In order to understand, the question I was asked, what would, before the takanas hagon, and what was the halacha? Okay. Baba Basra Lamed Vav Amid Aleph. Okay? So we'll work on that tomorrow and we'll see if you have. Oh, let's see how long that takes you. Okay. Shut this thing. Okay.